this series that I'm doing these days about vision. And if you haven't seen or read the church vision statement, I really encourage you to take a hold of this leaflet here, which you'll find copies on the table at the back. And I said last time I talked about it that, you know, we should memorize it. I don't know if any of you have memorized it yet. One day I'm going to stand up here and someone will spout it to me without any paper. But there's a few different things. And last time I talked about our vision as a church is to be full of the presence, the power, and the love of God, and a church that's bringing something of the of heaven into every household in our community. And this time, I want to take that a little bit further, and one of the other points says this, that our aim is to be a community of love that is reaching into every corner of our town, helping people from every age group, every social class, every street, and every walk of life to see that they are special to God. So that's really, you know, one of the most important things what church is about. Helping all the different people in this town to see that they're precious to God. And I thought I'd start off this morning by giving away a few iPhones that I have in my pocket. I've got a few spare iPhones. Would any of you like an iPhone? Yeah, good. Okay, well, the latest iPhone, it's worth a lot of money. Oh, unfortunately, I don't have one. That's a shame, isn't it? I can't give you one because I haven't got one. I'm very sorry about that. And that's the same with communicating with people about the love of God, that you can't give what you haven't got. And what are we meant to communicate? Well, according to that vision thing that I read out, we're to communicate that they are special to God. Every person is special to God. The trouble is that on a really deep level, many of us don't really believe that I'm special to God. And I think that is the biggest problem. And so the first half of what I want to do this morning, it's a bit unusual, not the normal sort of preach, but I hope you'll get something from it. I want to try and help you to see that you are special to God. And when you get that, the other parts, which I'll talk about afterwards, will come more naturally. So this first part, it's not really a teaching, it's more something for you to receive. And so I'm going to ask John to put some music on, and I'm going to communicate something to you as if it's God speaking. And so many of these words are scriptures from the Bible, arranged in a different way, but this is what God thinks about you. All of this is scriptural, so I'm not making it up. This is God's thoughts about you. You are special. Yes, I mean you. Not the person next to you, not the leader, not your family, but you are special. I know deep down you struggle to believe it. Often you feel ordinary, boring, unnoticed, small, stupid, sinful, less than, far away, insecure, a failure. But nothing could be further from the truth. You are my most precious child. Long ago, before I created the stars and the planets, I dreamt of you. I saw us walking together through the years of your life, hand in hand, laughing and talking, enjoying each other's company and loving each other. What I saw in my dream became the deepest desire of my heart, my greatest goal, and my most steadfast hope. Years later, when it was your time, even before you were born, I fathered you in great love. I formed your inmost being, knitting you together in your mother's womb. My eyes saw your unformed body. All the days ordained for you were written in my book before one of them came to be. You are my workmanship, designed by me to live and love and to do good works which I've prepared in advance for you to walk in. I have given you many gifts, even though most often you don't recognize that they came from my hand. I have prepared every detail of your life with meticulous care. I created a beautiful world for you to live in. I painted the sky and the fields with your favorite colors, and crafted beaches and rivers for you to enjoy. I planted trees to give you shade and delicately painted the flowers so that you might know the intimacy of my care and the extent of my beauty. I arranged for special people to come into your life so that you could have friends and companions and family. I wanted you to never be alone, to always have people around you who would help you and support you and love you as you went about your everyday business. I have always made sure that you have had enough of what you have really needed. I was your secret provider. Every day, without you knowing it, I feed the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, and all the animals that live in the earth. I'm the God who sees every time a sparrow falls to the ground. If this is how I clothe the flowers of the field and care for the birds of the air, which are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will I look after you? You are worth so much more than these. Invisibly, I support you and protect you in a thousand ways that you will never know about. I cause your heart to beat. I give you each breath that you breathe. My angels watch over you without sleeping. I've even allocated one of my most special angels to be your personal protector and guardian day and night. He never leaves your side and has kept you safe from many hidden dangers. He's brought you peace and comfort more times than you can imagine. I made you to be unique. There is no one else who is like you. There are billions of others in many different countries on this planet, but there isn't one person who is like you. It was I that thought up that design, that created you according to my plan with great skill and care. You are special. The way you look, the way you think and speak, the way you live and love, the gifts you have, your hopes and dreams, everything about you is bespoke, tailor-made, crafted by my loving hand, so that you might understand that you're not just another. You're not an afterthought, a lesser version, an unwanted mistake. You're the very apple of my eye, the desire of my heart, the subject of my hope and dreams. You are my friend, my child, my delight. You are the one that I have chosen. You are the one that I love. I know that your experience with others has not always been positive. That grieves my heart and causes me more pain than you could ever imagine. I understand exactly how you feel. I share your pain. I long to ease the aching of your heart. I know that there are times where you have felt lonely and alone. You have experienced pain. You've been discouraged, down. You've often wondered if I really know what's going on with you. At times you have thought that I have been distant, far removed from the realities of your life. That couldn't be further from the truth. When you weep, I silently weep with you. It touches me so deeply that long ago I determined to catch all your tears and store them in a special bottle so that I would never forget all that you have been through. I see everything. I never look away. I am interested in all that you do, always involved with you, connected to you, secretly watching, silently loving. You are never out of my mind. If I were to try to number the thoughts I have about you, they would outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. I have even written your name on my hand so that it stands before me day and night. I have prepared a great future for you. The best is yet to come. You have nothing to fear. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. I will wipe away every tear from your eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things will pass away. We will soon be walking together on streets paved with gold. I have prepared a mansion for you to live in forever. If you ever wonder how much you are worth, just think of the price that I paid for your ransom. When you were lost to me, living far away, wallowing in sin and darkness, I paid the greatest price that has ever been paid. In all the history of the nations, no higher price has ever been paid for anyone else than the price that I paid for you. You are my most valuable treasure, the one for whom my son died, the pearl of great price. I will never leave you. Even when you are faithless, I will remain faithful to you. If you commit the greatest sin or are engulfed by the darkest evil, if you wander far away from my presence, even then my hand will guide you. My steadfast love will watch over you, and my angels will keep you safe. I will protect you with my mighty arm. I will hide you under the shadow of my wing. I will never let you go. There is nothing that can separate you from my love, not trouble, nor hardship, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword. The greatest troubles on earth cannot hide it. The most powerful demons in hell cannot stop it. The past cannot change it. No future can diminish it. Sin cannot steal it. Death cannot destroy it. There is nothing in all of creation that can separate you from my love. There is nothing you can do that will make me love you less. There is nothing that you can do that will make me love you more. I love you completely, fully, unconditionally, eternally. You are my most precious child. You will always be special to me. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the truth that God thinks that you are special. And we need that inside more and more. We need to take time to get it, because when you've got it, then you can give it away. And if we're going to be those who communicate to every person that we meet that they are special to God, then we really need it deep inside. I remember when I was a teenager, just a new Christian, there was a lady, older lady who lived in Beverly. I don't know how I met her the first time, but she was so interested in me. When I met her, she just sort of looked at me and asked me how I was doing and what I was feeling and what was going on. And before long, somehow, I just found my heart being drawn out into her, and I would love just to be with her. Because I guess for all of us, the greatest need we have is to be loved, isn't it? And she loved me. And because of that, I'd go and I'd spend a lot of time with her, sitting and talking and listening. And she made a massive difference in my life. What we need is not a special technique so we can influence people better. People are very sensitive in their spirits. And they couldn't put words to it, but they can tell if you care for them. And that's why Jesus, when even though he preached to thousands of people, massive crowds, in his time when he wasn't preaching, he met with hundreds of people, yet everyone got the impression that when they were standing before Jesus, they were the most special person in the whole world. Why was that? How can we do that? Well, it's not just a technique. It was because for Jesus, they really were the most special person in the world at that time. he actually loved them. I won't talk for much longer. But I've just got four things that I think will help us to communicate to other people that they're special. And the first thing is that we need our hearts to be filled with love. That was the key for Jesus. He actually loved those people. He actually was interested in them. He wanted to know what was going on with them. With us, so often we meet people and we're not that bothered about them. We're happy if one more person comes and sits in our church or attends our meetings, or, you know, if it's people out there, if they help us or they're useful in some way, then we like that. But we're actually often not interested in them as a person. It says in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. It's your heart out of which life springs. If you want to touch people for Jesus, it won't be through your mouth, although that plays a part. It won't be through your hands that the life comes. It'll be through your heart. Your heart is the wellspring of life. And somehow there needs to be love that comes first if you want to touch people for Jesus. The second thing is that Jesus wasn't selective in who he loved. He loved everybody, and he said to us that we should do the same. Matthew 5:43, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? We need to love everyone. In Mark 16, when Jesus told the disciples to go into all the world, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't mean the worms and the foxes, you know, it means every person. That we have to somehow communicate to them that they are special to God. And like I said earlier, it's not, you know, words are important. What you do is important, but it comes from the heart. The heart is the wellspring of life. If you want them to have life, it has to start in your heart. Jesus carried them in his heart. Before he preached, before he met anyone, he loved them already. He wasn't selective about who he loved. Are you interested in everybody? Mother Teresa said, each of them is Jesus in disguise. I love that. That was her key, that every person she met, the poorest of the poor, the sick, the dying, she treated them like they were Jesus, from that parable that Jesus said about when you saw the lonely, when you saw the, you know, did you help them? And Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you did it for me. So Mother Teresa would just imagine that every person she met was Jesus. If you met Jesus, you'd treat him in a special way, wouldn't you? And it should be like that for every person that you meet. Another thing Mother Teresa said, she said this, spread love everywhere you go. First of all, in your own house, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. I think one of the problems is that we actually often don't meet people. We see people, but we don't meet them. We don't meet them. We sort of pigeonhole people, don't we? Like, you know, we go to Tesco's and there's the person, the girl on the checkout. And for us, it's not a person, it's just someone that's fulfilling a role in our life. We go on and we fill our car with petrol and there's the person, it could even be a robot, you know, who knows. We just sort of walk up, they're filling our car with petrol, we give money and we walk off. We don't think that they're actually a person. And so often we go through so much of life at work, even at home, even at church, without looking into somebody's eye and seeing what's going on the inside. We pigeonhole people and we treat them as sort of generic. Oh, there's a church. Yes, we know that person. We understand, you know, but we don't actually meet them. And often we hide ourselves as well. We don't give ourselves to them. We treat people as generic, and then worse, we judge them. And I think one of the biggest sins of the church, of me and of you, is that we disobey that thing that Jesus said, a little phrase, but so hard to keep, do not judge. It's easy to think of adultery and pride and some of these other sins that are big and visible, stealing, and yet the same mouth that said, do not steal, said, do not judge. And I think the church is one of the most judgmental places in society. And that's why so many people stay away, because they don't want to feel bad. They don't want to feel guilty or condemned. It's amazing that Jesus attracted sinners, even though he roundly condemned their lifestyle with his words. That's amazing, isn't it? He didn't water down and compromise and say, well, anything goes, it doesn't matter what you do, it's all okay. He preached fiercely against sin. And yet those sinners who he was denouncing, well, he was not denouncing the sinners, that's the key, isn't it? He was actually denouncing the sin. And those people were drawn to him. Because often people that are living in sin, they know themselves that what they're doing isn't right. It's just that they've never seen an alternative that is more appealing. If we can have an alternative in our life that people look at and think, yes, I want that, then they'll be willing to leave their life of sin. And yet, because of our judgmental attitude, we tend to subconsciously communicate disapproval to people. I've said it before, and I say it again now, that I want this church to be a place where anybody can walk in and feel that they're the most special person in the world. And it's as much up to you, this, as it's up to me. I would love it if a transvestite could come in, if two gay men could walk in holding hands, and they would be made to feel special. They wouldn't get any of the rejection or condemnation coming from us to them. Now, it doesn't mean that you're condoning their lifestyle. That's something totally different. But God accepts them. He loves them. He listens to them. He doesn't condemn them. He welcomes them. Of course he wants them to change. It's the same for the lawyer and the banker. They're no less sinners than the more visible sinners that we tend to communicate the rejection to. I'd love there to be a banner, a really big one, outside the church or just inside the door with a person pointing like this that says, "You are special to God." The thing is, it's not a banner, it's actually you that have to communicate that. And, you know, when they, as they sometimes do, the druggies come in and they're slightly off their head, or, you know, people come that are drunk, or, you know, we have all sorts of people come in sometimes. Do they feel that message? It's not what you say, it's what is in your heart that is communicated. People are sensitive and they feel what you feel towards them. Do you actually love them? We need God to work in our hearts. Mother Teresa said this: if you judge people, you have no time to love them. What stops you from loving people? It's often fear. We feel we've got enough on. We can't take on anybody else. They've got a lot of problems. We might be swamped. We don't have room in our heart for them, or space in our timetable to pray for them. We're meant to be like God. And his heart is big. So big that he has space for every person on the planet. He knows the number of hairs on their head. He actually records the details of their life. He follows their Facebook posts and reads all their Twitter feeds. Every time we turn away from someone, every time we don't reach out and love them, our heart gets a little bit smaller. Every time we say yes and we welcome someone and we give something to them, even if it's only a smile or a little bit of our time, then our heart grows a little bit bigger. And the heart is an amazing thing. You know, you can determine how big or small your heart is. There's no limit to how big it can get, how soft it can become, how tender, how warm. That's your choice. There's also no limit to how small it can become, how narrow, how hard, how cold. When we stand before God, he'll be looking at our heart. I don't want to be ashamed standing before God with a cold, small, hard, selfish heart. Mother Teresa said this: I have found the paradox that if I love until it hurts, there is no hurt, only more love. You don't need to be afraid to love too much. You can never love too much. The more you love, the more God gives love back to you. So that's our calling as a church, to communicate with every person that they are special to God. I've used up all my time and far beyond, so you have to forgive me for that. But I just want to pray for you before we finish. And I'm going to read over you a prayer of Mother Teresa. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and your love. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of your own. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. In Jesus' name, amen.